It's Wednesday, December 12, 2012. I'm Jordy Morgan. Welcome to Maritime Morning. A trial begins in Quebec this week for a gory filmmaker, accused of corrupting morals by making sexually explicit horror films. Yes, he's accused of corrupting morals. With all the stuff that is out there, is there a line that cannot be crossed when it comes to the depiction of gruesome scenes with special effects? We're going to get comment from Jesse Klein, and we'll take your calls on that one. Dr. John Gillis is off today, so Dr. Bob Mullen will be joining us to take your house calls. Dr. Bob is a family physician in the Annapolis Valley. We're going to talk about the controversy over flu shots. It's back in the news because healthcare workers in BC are refusing to get the shot, and also why smoking gives you a worse hangover, and we'll give you six natural remedies to fight cold and flu and talk about the relative merits of all of those. But first, do we need to protect Canadians' genetic rights? And what are genetic rights? Well, to try and encapsulate this, let's say your father had Huntington's disease. You may or may not have the genetic mutation. Should you be required to have to disclose that your father died of the condition to maybe an insurance company? Well, our Human Rights Act protects us from discrimination because of disability, race, religion, and gender, but there are no specific provisions to protect us regarding genetic information or any perceived future disability. So we're going to talk to the folks who do believe we need to protect genetic rights and to try to get an understanding of what at stake here. Bev Heim-Myers is the chair of the Canadian Coalition for Genetic Fairness, and she joins us on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if you would be surprised about this, but this is the first time that I have heard about genetic rights or genetic fairness. How long has this issue been, I guess, simmering?
Well, you know, I think it's coming to light now that the government has been talking about personalized medicine. So there's been lots in the news now about moving forward and understanding somebody's genome so that we can better target potential diseases that that person may be susceptible to. But it's really been around since the late 1980s when the Genome Project started. Mm-hmm. So our Human Rights Act was struck in 1984. The Genome Project started in 1989. Since then, we have learned much more about our genetic, our genomes and genetic diseases. So 10 years ago, there were 100 genetic diseases that could be identified through markers. And now there's between 2,500 and 3,000. So more and more, it's becoming very, very prevalent. And the speed at which we're learning about the human genome, the speed at which we're learning the benefit of knowing that information for future care, future preventative measures, healthy living, the horse is out of the gate, and it's time to protect that information. Other countries have. Canada is the only G8 country that does not protect genetic information. The other G8 countries do.
So you're advocating for legislation, I presume. Can you just give us an illustration of what genetic discrimination looks like?
Genetic discrimination is based on a potential future disability. So if you have, you'd already mentioned in your opening of Huntington disease. So you look at young people. This is a specific example, although I won't use names. Young people graduating from chiropractic school, and in chiropractic school they're graduating as professionals. Prior to practicing, they are told to get their insurance lined up so that they can set up their own practice. They answer the questions. They're setting up life insurance. They answer the questions. And because Huntington disease is in their family, they have not been tested for it, but it's in their family, they are denied insurance. So they can't move forward in their life. Now, there are other diseases where there may be a very slight chance that you may get the disease, like liver diseases. We have examples where individuals have liver disease in their family. There is a very slight chance that they may get it. They have not been genetically tested, but they're denied insurance because of that.
Okay, because somebody has a genetic, I'm trying to figure out what we're trying to protect here. If an insurance company, you know, when you disclose whether you smoke, you disclose what other risks that are at place. I mean, an insurance company is going to measure those risks against, you know, you getting insurance. If somebody was to do that, to apply for insurance and then say, well, your father had Huntington's disease, can you not get tested for the marker and then clear that up? Or I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is what is it that the legislation would do?
The legislation would allow people to go forward and have their genome done and get tested. And that the purpose of going forward to understand it is so that they can understand the rest of their life.
I just don't understand what you mean.
People should not have access to that information. So the insurance companies should not be able to ask for genetic information. So if somebody has the courage to move forward and
I don't know what you mean by saying to move forward. What do you mean?
To get their get genetically tested.
Oh, I see. So but you're saying a life insurance company should not be allowed to ask you to do that?
Oh, absolutely. An insurance company and in Canada, insurance companies have a voluntary moratorium on asking people to get genetically tested. So we need to be clear about that. They do not ask people to get genetically tested, but if somebody has a history of Parkinson's, MS, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's in their family, they will not give them insurance unless they do get genetically tested. So they do not specifically say you need a genetic test before we'll move forward. So other countries like GINA in the U.S., the U.S. has passed federal legislation protecting genetic characteristics. So somebody can get their genome done. They can go forward and have a genetic test done.
Right.
And that test can be used for decision-making for their future health benefit.
But
insurance companies do not have access to that information.
I guess what I'm confused about here is why is because you know it's genetic information. I mean, it's new science. It's something. It gives us a more profound understanding of our bodies. Why is it that that information versus any other information around your health should be restricted? I mean, for example, if I was to have cancer, which years ago might not have been able to be detected, or if I had any other disease for that matter that was undetectable and I went for insurance, then, you know, I would get it because there wasn't any testing for it. But because there is that science available now to have an understanding of people's conditions or the likelihood that they may get a disease, why is that different than any other type of medical testing? Why is genetic testing different?
Genetic testing is very personal information.
Well, so is whether I have cancer or not.
Absolutely. But with genetic testing, there are many factors. There are multifactorial diseases. So it's not definitive. The genetic testing, when people go forward for genetic testing, mm-hmm. it may or may not indicate, the markers may or may not indicate that somebody will get Alzheimer's. There's other factors involved in this, and we don't know what the factors are.
I see. So your point is that basically that the science is not specific enough or clear enough now for us to be able to make appropriate decisions about the results.
Absolutely. There's a lot of unknowns in this. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is definitive decisions are being made, and people in Canada are not moving forward to have genetic testing done based on fear of discrimination that is not appropriate. Another thing that we have to consider is moving forward with many diseases. In order to participate in clinical trials, there are diseases that you actually have to have the marker for the disease. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be harmful to participate in those clinical trials. We want clinical trials to be done in Canada. Mm-hmm. From a research perspective, we want them to be done because we have good ethics. We have stringent protocols that we have to follow. If we can expedite discovery to the population that needs it in Canada and do clinical trials in Canada, that's better for all Canadian citizens. If people don't move forward, if people do not, based of fear, if they do not have their genome done because they're afraid of the repercussions that may become of that, then they're not going to participate in clinical trials. And that's not good for any of us.
Why is it that we can't use that information in the same way that we would use other medical information in terms of the statistical data that goes along with it? I mean, the reason that you may have difficulty getting insurance or you have to pay higher premiums because you smoke is because there is statistical data that says that if you do smoke, that there is a higher risk, you know, and that's essentially what informs the policymakers or the informs that what you're going to be paying for insurance. Now, if
absolutely, but let's be clear, you're talking about modifiable risk factors.
Right.
So an insurance policy, if you're a smoker, you're going to pay higher premiums.
Yeah.
But if you stop smoking, they will revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
If they in the insurance companies, if you have somebody go forward to, because insurance has become a pillar of our lives in moving forward,
mm-hmm.
in anything that we do. So it's almost a social responsibility to have insurance. So if the insurance companies have somebody demand through their behaviors that somebody get genetically tested, that person can never take that information back, can never not know that information. They one day go from planning the rest of their life to planning what may not be the rest of their life. It shouldn't be in the hands of the insurance companies. And we can talk about it, but other countries have found a way to protect people's genetic characteristics. And 20 years ago, the insurance companies didn't have access to this information, and the industry thrived. Employers did not have access to that information, and people were still employed.
Okay.
Now they do have access to that information, but we should have protected that information in Canada.
There was a couple of other questions. Would you be able to hang on for just a moment? Because I have to take a commercial break. Do you have time to answer a couple more questions?
Sure.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Bev Heim-Myers is the chair of the Canadian Coalition for Genetic Fairness. We're talking about whether or not we need legislation to protect Canadians' genetic rights and try to get an understanding of the issue here. Do we need some legislation in place? We'll take a quick break and be back with more on this on Maritime Morning. Welcome back to Maritime Morning. We're talking about the notion of genetic discrimination. There are some folks who feel that we should have some legislation in this country to protect ourselves from genetic discrimination. That is, having markers within our genetic code that perhaps would lead to us developing a condition or a disease at some point down the road being used for example, when you go to buy life insurance or something like that, or to buy insurance of any kind, that you would be denied because you happen to have those genetic markers and that information shouldn't be traded around. Bev Heim-Myers is the chair of the Canadian Coalition for Genetic Fairness, and we're just talking about the, I suppose, the appropriateness of legislation as a tool being used in all of this. Thank you very much for doing this, Bev. Appreciate it. I want to ask you about some of the arguments that are being made and I alluded to some of them, but perhaps they were better articulated by other people than me, that when we talk about certain risk factors, whether it's high cholesterol or your HIV status or whatever it might be. Some things, that may say that you have a higher risk of cancers and that kind of stuff. How is that? I asked you how that is different from genetic markers, because if you were to specify that these genetic markers were the causes of these diseases through, I mean, aren't you kind of working in a, isn't this counterproductive to what you want to achieve? Wouldn't it actually maybe reinforce stigmatization? I know that that's one argument being made against legislation.
Reinforce this stigma against having markers in your genome? I'm sorry, is that your question, Jordy?
Of having genetically at-risk individuals. That people, I mean, the fact that you are saying that this information can't be used, that does it not somehow just reinforce the stigmatization that if you do have that marker, that therefore that, you know, you're likely to get the disease? I mean, you're making the argument yourself that there are a great many other factors involved here.
Absolutely, but if this information, this is personal information. My genome is my genome.
Yeah.
I'm the one that knows what's in that genome or should know what's in that genome. My doctor may know, and we can use that for, young families can use it for reproductive decisions, they can use it for prevention, they can use it for many decisions that they're making in their life. It is their information, not the insurance company's information. So I'm not sure I buy the argument that it would enhance stigma attached. In fact, I think that a stigma is enhanced when somebody has been denied something, whether it be employment or insurance, based on a potential future disability. Mm-hmm. That's when the stigma comes into play. There's something worth noting. There's been two papers that have been commissioned by the Privacy Commissioner's Office of Canada. And those papers have looked at the impact to the insurance industry if they were not allowed to use genetic characteristics. So if somebody had their genome done, they couldn't use that information. And because there are multifactorial aspects to many diseases and very few monogenetic diseases, meaning diseases that have a one gene mutation, the impact, the economic impact to insurance companies or to the rates for people would be insignificant. So they are making decisions based on information that may or may not be true. And because it's our personal information, it's information that shouldn't be accessed by insurance companies. It should stay personal. It should be used for future research. It should be used for the better of all Canadian citizens. And it should not be used against us. Another note.
Sure.
Everybody's genome, there are at least, you and I have at least 400 flaws in our genome.
I would suggest I have probably many more.
And I might have many more, too. But, you know, and we're just beginning this incredible research mm-hmm. in understanding what those flaws mean. We should lift the barriers to people feeling free to come forward and participate in this research. We truly should lift the barriers and protect people. And, you know, I think a lot of emphasis is put on legislation. That's one way of doing it. We could also, the insurance companies in the insurance industry in other countries have put forward a voluntary moratorium on using genetic characteristics. So they voluntarily do not use them.
Mm-hmm.
When GINA was passed in the United States, insurance companies were at the table with them. They mm-hmm. agreed with it. They supported it. So I think that we need to get rid of the fear that this is going to have a huge economic impact on the insurance industry, because none of us want the insurance industry to go down.
No.
You know, we don't want that. But it's not going to have a negative impact on them.
No. I guess maybe I'm perceiving this wrong, but I see that the concern is against the ability to use that information as an indicator of, you know, an individual's future health versus, you know, as simply just another part of the toolkit or having it restricted somehow, you know, under rights-based legislation. And I guess I don't know if that's where the argument is centered, but that's where it seems to be coming down. Am I wrong?
Well, that's one example of how we could protect genetic characteristics.
Yeah.
That legislation is one example.
Okay.
And the reason that other countries did it, like Belgium did it as soon as the Genome Project started,
yeah.
because they couldn't predict where this research was going to go. They could predict that it would likely be incredibly beneficial to curing diseases and to predicting and to helping people make reproductive decisions. They could predict that, but they couldn't predict how it could be used against mm-hmm. people, so that's why they protected people.
Well, it's very interesting. It is to me, anyway, and obviously is to you as well, and I hope to our audience. So, Bev Heim-Myers, thank you very much for taking some time to share your thoughts with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Jordy, and I hope you have a good genome.
You have a
I hope everyone does.
You have a happy genome, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I've never been wished that before. Maybe that we can reuse that instead of happy holidays. Have a happy genome. I mean, really, that's a nice one. Have a good genome. We'll talk about your health in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Bob Mullen will be joining us. He's sitting in for John Gillis today, who's away, having a happy genome wherever he is. And we'll take your house calls next here on Maritime Morning.